Hi everyone, and a very happy new year to you all. A year where I pray that we would all experience God's blessing and be able to share his blessing and his grace with many others. Who are you? If I were to ask you that question this morning, the way you answer would say something about how you see your identity. Some of you might simply reply with a name. Some might talk about family relationships, that you are a husband, a wife, a parent, a child, a brother, a sister, a grandparent. Some might talk about what you do, as your identity can so often be tied up in our jobs or the things that occupy our time. And the answer you gave would give insights into what's important to you and on what motivates you to do what you do. If someone's first response, for example, is to speak about being a police officer, we would assume that justice and protecting others is important to that person, unless, of course, we've had a difficult encounter with the law. One of the things that we find throughout the New Testament is the idea of our identity being in Christ, or some variation of that, such as in the Lord. In Paul's letters, for example, that phrase, that idea, appears 155 times. And if this is our first response to the question of who we are, then it says something about the relationship we've been drawn into because of Jesus and the things that are important to us as a consequence. And this recognition that those who have come to believe in Jesus have a new identity, an identity that is tied up in his, is vitally important. And it's something we're going to be exploring together over the next few weeks. Not just to learn something new or to be reminded of something we've forgotten, although hopefully we will do that along the way, but so that we can realise who we really are and for that realisation to change the way we live. As we set out into this new year, with all the opportunities and challenges it will contain, let's commit ourselves to living through it as people who find our deepest identity in Jesus. So that's what we're doing over the next few weeks. And this morning we're going to start by looking at the idea of experiencing redemption through faith in Christ. But to understand this redemption and why it was necessary, we first need to understand something of the righteousness of God that we heard about in that passage that we read. Repeatedly throughout the Old Testament, we find references to God's character, where he's described as holy, just, righteous, among other things. Someone who wants the best for his people, who pleads with them when they turn against him, but eventually acts in judgment against them as they continue to reject him. Various people are shown something of the majesty and greatness of God and realise how far short they fall from what he expects of them. And because God is holy and just, because he sets laws by which people should live, when they continually turn against those laws and live in ways that are totally opposed to God, he will act in judgment. And some people do struggle with this idea, because they like the idea of a God who will not act against anyone, because he's a loving God, he's a kind God. But if we applied those same standards in our legal systems, in our families, in our neighbourhoods, we would soon, sadly, see many people doing terrible things to each other without anything being done to stop them. So with each of us having natures that enable us to do wrong, it is necessary to have laws and justice systems to protect the rest of society. And many of these principles are derived from the legal principles that God established among the people of Israel thousands of years ago. And as God gave them these laws, he made it totally clear that if they were to stay faithful to him and do as he commands, they would be blessed. Whereas if they turn against him, they would find themselves coming under God's judgment. For God to be righteous, for God to be seen to be righteous, it is necessary for him to act in this way and to judge sin, to judge those who do wrong things. However, Paul, in the passage we've read, goes on to explain that for a long time, God did not carry out this judgment. because he did not want to act against the people that he loved. But also that this judgment could not be delayed forever if God's righteousness were to be upheld. And so what has happened is that God's judgment has fallen on Jesus, allowing God's righteousness to be seen, but providing humanity, us, the opportunity to not come under God's judgment because Jesus has taken it on himself. And this is why Paul speaks about people being justified through the redemption that came through Christ, as God presented his own son as a sacrifice for sin. Redemption is about paying a price so that someone or something can be set free. And when Jesus died on the cross, he was paying the price for our sin. And because of that, we can come into God's presence as those who have been justified or declared to be righteous. Think of a courtroom scene where a judge or a jury is about to pronounce a verdict. And if the person in the dock is pronounced to be not guilty, they are able to go free. The law has no further claim on them for anything they've been accused of. They are legally free and will not be challenged about whatever it was that they were accused of again. And this is what God has done for those who have accepted this free gift that he offers. Even though we've all got things wrong, we've not lived up to the standards God expects of us. We've often not lived up to the standards we set for ourselves. So we are justified, redeemed, declared righteous. And all this is available to those who accept that the sacrifice of Jesus was for them and accept his offer of forgiveness in faith, believing that God, who has declared we are righteous, will treat us as such. Let's focus on that for a moment. We all know we have done things wrong. Well, I assume we all do. I do remember having a conversation with someone many years ago by a river in Bedford, and he was trying to convince me he had never done anything wrong. I really didn't find his arguments very persuasive. But because even with having done those things that are wrong and the things that we feel bad about, because of our identity in Jesus, we can come into God's presence and stand before him as though we have never done anything wrong at all, as though we've never fallen short of God's standards for the people he created. Do you get that? Do you believe that? Do you know that? Do you live in the reality of that? Because if our identity is in Jesus, it is true. And this status of being redeemed through faith in Christ brings some wonderful things with it. We're just going to look at three of them. In Colossians 1, 13 and 14, it says this: he, that is God, has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. One of the things that's so important to many people in the West is the idea of being free agents, of being able to make our own choices and not live under the authority of anyone else. I think the reality is actually quite a long way from this, as we all live in societies and cultures with laws and penalties for breaking them. And we've experienced so much of restriction, unexpected restriction, restrictions we're not used to over the last couple of years. But the point Paul is making here is a much wider comment. He's saying that there are two kingdoms, two areas of authority, and that each and every person is living in one of them and under its authority. One he describes as the dominion or kingdom of darkness, while the other is described as the kingdom of his Son, the one who described himself as the light of the world. Many of us will remember that there was a time when there was an iron curtain, so-called, that stretched across Europe and, for example, divided Germany into East and West, resulting in me, for example, being born in West Germany, not just in Germany, as it would have been today. From the perspective of people living in the West, one of them was a place of democracy and freedom, while the other was a place of fear and oppression. And there are many stories of people wanting to escape from one to the other, with some succeeding and starting new lives. But Paul, And the Bible in general speaks about all of us living in one of two kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of God. And while people may want to leave the kingdom of darkness and find new lives in the kingdom of God, it is not something anyone is able to do in their own strength. But because of Jesus, God is able to rescue us from that dark kingdom and bring us into the light that only he can offer. And the redemption we have in Jesus brings with it forgiveness from sin, so we're able to live in his new kingdom as people who are accepted and welcome there. Not that we never get things wrong again, not that we never sin again, but when we do so, we can find ongoing forgiveness and acceptance in Jesus. So because of our identity in Jesus, because of being redeemed by him, we can rejoice in the freedom and light that God delights to give us. Paul writes again in Titus chapter 2, verse 14, speaking about Jesus, and he says, "Who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good." This verse is speaking about Jesus, who was willing to give himself for us to set us free from all wickedness and to make us pure. What a wonderful state Jesus has brought us into. But Paul does point out that one of the implications of being redeemed is that how we live our lives should change. We should be eager to do what is good. This is not about doing good so God will like us better. It's a very different idea. As Jesus purifies us and makes us a people that are his very own, we are becoming more like Jesus. We are growing into his identity. And that, as a result, causes us to live differently and to do the sort of good things that Jesus himself would do. Someone who is part of a loving, properly functioning family does not behave properly towards others in the families that they will be accepted, but they seek the best for others because they are part of the family. Their identity affects their behaviour towards others. And as we become more like Jesus, the one who loved the entire world, so the way we think about everyone else changes. We see people with the eyes of Jesus and we act in love towards them as Jesus would. And that's what Paul is speaking about here. He would probably have recognised that none of us do this perfectly, but it is the result of becoming more like Jesus and fully taking on the identity he has given us as he redeemed us. As we start out in 2022, are our actions towards each other and towards everyone we meet going to shout out the reality that we are followers of Jesus and living as he would want us to? One last example we're going to look at is in Hebrews 9, where in verse 12, again speaking about Jesus, it says this: "He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, so obtaining eternal redemption." This is a reference to something we find in the Old Testament, something known as the Day of Atonement, a time when the high priest would go into the inner sanctum of the temple once a year and offer sacrifices to God. These sacrifices were used to purify the temple, which would have been tainted during the year with the many people who come to seek forgiveness, and also to provide forgiveness and purification for the people. Jesus, when he died on the cross, paid one sacrifice for sin, and this one sacrifice is enough for all time. Which is why this verse speaks about Jesus obtaining eternal redemption, redemption that will never lapse or run out. Can you think of anything we do that is permanent? We buy insurance for something and that typically lasts a year. We buy a new fridge and it comes with a warranty, often a year. You can choose to extend that to 3 or 5. We take out a lease on a property and it lasts for 99 years or so. And I wonder if this reality of how things work in our daily experience, in a society that's becoming more and more throw away and get a new one, I wonder if this reality can affect how we think about the redemption that Jesus has provided for us. Concern that one day it might run out. If we don't continue with the payments, we might find ourselves outside. But here we are reminded that the redemption Jesus provides is eternal. It is forever, through life, through death, and into the life that God has provided for those who love Jesus. And this means that our identity in Christ is eternal, something that we can hold on to, something we can be confident of, something we can rejoice in. So, as this week we've started looking at this idea of our identity in Christ, we found some wonderful things that flow from being redeemed by him, of being saved from our sin. We've seen that God sees us as righteous, as not guilty. Friends, this morning, sometimes it can be difficult to let go of guilt for the things we know we have done that are wrong. And if you're feeling that this morning, it's important to hear that God has forgiven. God sees you as righteous because of your identity in his Son. We've seen that we are citizens of his kingdom. That is our home. That is our allegiance. We've seen that this calls us to live different lives. Different lives from people around us. Maybe even different from the lives we've been living last year. Lives that are becoming more and more influenced by our identity in Jesus and becoming more like him. We've been reminded that this is something we will experience forever. It didn't end at the end of 2021. It won't run out at the end of 2022. This is big, eternal from God. Amazing and wonderful things. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be exploring more wonderful things that follow from having our identity in Jesus. There is so much richness. There is so much depth in what this means for us. And so my call, my challenge to each of us is that we live like the people we are. I asked you right at the beginning, who are you? Whatever your answer normally is, let's recognize that we are in Christ. And let's live like that. People who do not need to be afraid. People who are committed to God. People who demonstrate this by how we live. People who are confident that we are eternally secure and that nothing can shake that. What difference will your identity in Christ, being redeemed by Christ, make to how you spend time with God this week? What will you say to him? What will you listen for from God? What difference will it make to the things you choose to spend time doing? What difference will it make to the conversations you have with others? Remember, you are justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Let's live our lives. Let's go out into our communities, rejoicing in that reality and living as fully committed followers of the Jesus who has given his identity to us.